Are you in Philly? Like, how are you
Yeah, I'm in
doing?
Philly. I'm
Yeah,
doing well,
do
man.
you.
I'm in Philly.
Yeah, 'cause like I want to talk to you about some of the play-in stuff and about where the NBA's at, but it's impossible to ignore what's happening in the world right now, and especially in major cities in the States. Like, what's happening for you right now in Philly?
It's a lot of madness, on top of the COVID-19, and now you have the protesting with George Floyd murder. So Philadelphia this past weekend, you just basically a lot of the areas, downtown areas, shopping areas and things, went up in flames. It's a lot. It's a lot. We had peaceful protesting early throughout the day, and then once the sun went down, things just start happening. Now you start seeing it move into different areas of Philadelphia. And it's just one of those moments, man, that it's something where it's reality, but it's still unbelievable that it's actually physically happening.
Yeah, and there's always going to be opportunists. There's always going to be people who, yeah, take advantage of a situation and do things that hurt communities, whether it's looting, whether it's rioting, whether it's violence in the streets, and it generally does happen at night. But I was talking off the top of the show that after George Floyd's murder, it really does feel like there has been this tipping point of outrage that's extended beyond just the black community, where it's becoming more of a norm for people to be having discussions and trying to figure out how exactly that we actually start to move forward as a society productively. I know that in the moment, it must feel overwhelming in terms of just sadness, whether it's the community being torn up, whether or not it's thinking about murder, whether it's thinking about being black in America. But is there some level of optimism for you right now that there does seem to be at least this moment, this opportunity for real change?
Honestly, no, because I've seen it. I've seen the police brutality for years. I guess for my time, Rodney King was the one that really stuck out to me at an early age. And, I saw the protesting and the looting in LA, the LA riots. And, even before that, talking to my parents and, protesting in the 60s and stuff like that. And a lot of things happened through the course of history that where you still see things happening. And, in America and our world, we have a leader that, he doesn't denounce this type of behavior, right? He doesn't do things like that. So, our country, as it felt 8 years ago, Barack Obama together, I mean, it felt like it was together, but now our country feels like it's such a divide. And I feel it personally going out sometimes, and it's tension. It's tension out there. And just being black in America, sometimes you now, me personally, wonder will if you make it back home because of a traffic stop or anything, or depending on who you run in your situation or a close friend of yours. So it's very disturbing. This one has hit close. It's just close to home for me because it's just right there, right? It's just right in your face, and you don't see change. And just a few years ago, you see someone like Colin Kaepernick who, peacefully, protested, quietly took a knee, and that wasn't heard. So now we got to go to the extreme measure with violence and destruction in order to people to even think that it's going to be a change. So it's very discouraging to me, but hopefully something can, come about this. But I'm tired of using the word hope and maybe and faith and all this stuff, but we shall see.
Well, and especially since it's a lot easier for someone who's living in a different country, and we're not immune to this in Canada. Like, we have
Right.
had our own incidences with police brutality and police violence. We have an ongoing investigation right now about a young black girl that fell to her death from a balcony where police were involved, and we still haven't gotten answers. There still hasn't been a review as to exactly what happened there. And so, yeah, again, it does come from a place of security where I get to look at things like, well, I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic because, yeah, I haven't been through this for the entirety of my life, as you just put it. But is there, and again, this is so weighty, man, like in terms of like asking you because you're black to be like, hey, explain this to me, tell me this, and put this on your shoulders. But if there is something that you would say to, yeah, to people who are not minorities, to white people, to people with privilege, in terms of how you can actually help make change, how you can actually create some type of progress that would give you a little bit more hope, what would it be?
Nah, man. Honestly, JD, I don't know. I don't know what to tell people. I don't know what strikes people. I don't know. But if you fundamentally don't have a compassion or a respect level or in your body as a human, and I was always taught growing up, treat people the way you want to be treated, right? And if you do have a platform, if you do have the ability to help and to not just necessarily not necessarily lead a charge, but support a charge or support a cause, or take the initiative to stand for positive and equality and the good things, So if you have that platform, if you can, then by all means, please step forward. But other than that, man, you just don't know. So if that lack of human compassion or that human side of you is not there, I don't know what to tell someone, because that's not what I'm used to. I'm used to, being a human being, caring for everybody, concerned for the people around me, because I know ultimately it's going to affect my children. It's going to affect people that I'm close to, and that's just from a selfish standpoint. But I think overall, it's more pleasant to be able to be in a community or environment where everyone is, respecting each other and, communicating with each other and helping one another. So, like I said, I don't know. I don't know what to tell another race or someone else that I wouldn't tell my own race. And that's pretty much. But I know for my race, the black community, and, we're protesting and we're doing things. We want to be heard, and it's a level of frustration. But I know in between incidents, whether it's a week, a month, a year, or whatever, we still have to work together to become better and improve one another, improve ourselves. And once again, it always starts from within. And I think that's something that we have to take the initiative. We have to game plan, and we have to be ready to execute the game plan instead of being reactionary, right? We got to be proactive when these situations come. But it's going to take a collective unit from all races and all people in order for a change to really take place.
See, that's the part of me that's trying to be optimistic, because again, there's just so much sadness. But that, like, when you're talking about, especially I think from white people, and that's what's so frustrating about the Colin Kaepernick thing that you bring up, is that Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and it was in regards to police brutality, and it got twisted into all these other debates and all these other discussions, and people all of a sudden started to be like, well, I'm exhausted of this. I'm tired about hearing about this. I just want to talk about football. And you got this whole like stick to sports thing, and like let's keep sports or politics out of sports. Let's keep and now that you've seen this boiling point where people are so frustrated that it has escalated into violence, and it's like, really, this is where it had to get to in order for people to take notice. This is where it had to get to for people to start actually talking about stuff like this. And to me, at least, I hope the tipping point is, and again, maybe this is just false optimism, is that, yeah, finally some people are going to recognize that, okay, what you said before, that, if you're not raised without having compassion and about thinking other people are equal, I think most people feel that way. That is the, I think most people are good, and most people don't want to see someone harmed. But I think the difference is now is that people are realizing that you just not being a racist, you just being like, well, I'm not doing something bad, it's not enough, and that you're going to have to do something else. You're going to actually have to be active in your community. You're going to actually have to figure out, okay, well, if equality matters to me, if I truly want people to walk out in the streets and feel as safely as I do. Like, I mentioned off the top of the show that I've had run-ins with cops, and I've been cocky around cops. And it's because I know that there was never going to be a chance that a cop put his knee on my neck for 8 minutes until I took my last breath. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. And so my approach was just completely different. And that people need to be able to realize, like, hey, that's actually a thing. So how do we get to a place where someone who's black in Canada or someone who's black in America feels that same way, where that an incident where you are drunk or you're doing something stupid doesn't result in losing your life, or the fear of losing your life, or the conversations like, hey, you need to be take extra precautions, or that you feel a different level of anxiety when you get pulled over by a cop. That we get somewhere there, and that, yeah, just not being racist is, it's the least thing you can do. It's nothing. You're not doing anything. You're just being a person. So whether it's when you go to the polls, whether or not it's when you think of just about any elected official, the places that you work, the businesses that you use, is it's just being a smarter person and making sure that you do invest energy into figuring out how you want to make change. Otherwise, I I think you're right. I think that we're going to be going in a cycle where, yeah, we're going to be having these same conversations again in another 2 months when another black man or woman is killed by a cop.
And it's amazing to me. Like, I get so confused because we go back to Colin Kaepernick and we saw a peaceful way of demonstrating, right? For a cause that we know that's there. It wasn't something out of the blue. It wasn't something that just happens. Events that's happened throughout history and recently, I'm not quite sure what the event that triggered Colin Kaepernick to take the knee. I can't quite remember what the timeline, but it was a peaceful demonstration. And he was pretty much ostracized, from sports, from society because of his stance. And then, a few years later, we have this. And it's just one of those things, like, which one do you want? Which one would you prefer, to bring recognition or bring some notice to an obvious problem that, across this country? And police brutality is one segment of it, but it's other things. It's in the workplace. It's in just society. It's everywhere where there's discrimination and inequality. So it's just when you're looking at the black race and you're looking at people that are taking a stand, how am I supposed to demonstrate? How am I supposed to get the word across? What's the best solution? What's the best way? And regardless, however it is, it seems like the words or the actions are not taken seriously until something like this, where it comes to violence and all these things happen. And then now you're forced to lose more lives. You're out there with SWAT teams and army military out there ready to really take it to a whole nother level of violence. So it's no productive way to go about it when you're looking at somebody when they're trying to make a change, because nothing seems like it gets heard, nothing seems like it's taken serious enough until lives are really lost. So that's when you ask about what can be done and what is there optimistic side of it, or is there a bright light? That's where it's just so confusing and so conflicting of how can things be positive when we don't know how to get our word across in a peaceful way.
Yeah, I just think of even some of the, like, I saw the Miami Police Department that all of their officers came out and took a knee. And this, again, is a gesture that was popularized by Colin Kaepernick. And part of me is like, okay, well, that's good. This is the way that you should be approaching your community is by being humble, just like the sheriff that we saw in Flint who put down his riot gear and walked with people. But my other part is like, okay, well, where were you before when it wasn't violent? Like when Kaepernick was doing these things, I think it was just, yeah, mostly ridiculed. And there weren't police forces that were standing behind Colin Kaepernick. There weren't signs of officers or images of officers holding up, signs talking about ending police brutality. It needed to come to a point where all of a sudden it was violent and cops felt threatened and that their work environment got a lot more dangerous in order for them to actually speak up on this or actually take a hardline stance against other cops and try to deviate from some of the cop culture. And yeah, so okay, we're seeing some change, but you're right. The thing that's propelled this, it's not the murder of George Floyd. It's the fallout from it. It's the violence. It's the rioting. It's the fact that other people have felt threatened, and all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, now you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable and you start to shift somewhere. And I think it's a dangerous precedent. I think it's something where it's like, okay, well, this is what works, and everything else didn't. And until we see it where it's done with peace and where it's done with compassion, that it hasn't been forced, yeah, you're right. It is hard to be optimistic when because people are always going to be motivated by fear, and as long as it's that, it doesn't feel like it's going to be productive. And maybe just the way to shift this just a little bit into sports is how do you feel this affects coming back if you're the NBA? Does it at all? Because we saw a leadership committee be made today from NBA coaches. We know that the NBA is the most outspoken and vocal league when it comes to race relations. We know what kind of leaders they have been in the community, whether it's like, I mean, just about, there's been a million different examples, but whether it's, Jaylen Brown driving down to Atlanta from Boston to participate in peaceful protests. I saw like Lonnie Walker of the San Antonio Spurs cleaning graffiti this morning. You have basically members of the NBA community who are all paying a lot of attention to this right now. And yeah, the real potential that this causes some term of, yeah, change to the way that we prioritize getting back for basketball games right now.
No, I mean, I think it's awesome, and of course, you can always do more. I think the NBA, getting back to action hopefully soon, or whatever is the safest thing to do, whatever decision they make with that. But I also believe the NBA has to really be aware and really be careful not muzzling the players. You know, I know the NBA, they do a good job of sending their messages as a whole. But I think individually, you know, players are affected differently. And players, you know, have different ways to express certain things that's going on in their lives. So I know in my experience, certain things, you know, whether you tweet it out or whether you put it on Instagram or social media, I think this is a good time for the NBA and everyone to, you know, strategize, but also really hear the players and hear their point of view and hear different, you know, different ways of going about, you know, getting the word across. Now, if you do it collectively as the NBA, or you do allow some NBA players to, you know, loosen up the leash a little bit. I'm not saying allow people to go crazy and just say anything they want to tarnish their brand. But, you know, there are conversations and there are ways to go about really getting your point across from certain individuals or all individuals. And I think that's something the NBA should look at. How can they collectively or strategically come about and really do something? Because, once again, athletes are very influential. They are looked upon, you know, as people that are role models. And I think, once again, if you can get athletes to get on that platform, they will affect the younger people. I think younger people could be the most influenced people, and that's what you want, a younger generation, not to come up like the past generation, or they'll see the world in a different light than maybe their grandfathers or their mothers or fathers or older people in their lives, you know, exposed them to. So I think our players could be used as tools, and I don't want to use that word, used as resources or people that can get the word across to a younger generation that'll be very influential and positive moving forward. Because that's where we want to get to. We don't want to see the young people just keep going through this cycle and see that's how it is. I don't want to see young black kids be fearful to go outside. And I don't want to see young white kids, you know, think things are the way they are because the black people act a certain way or whatever the case may be. I want everyone to be able to see a positive light. And I think the NBA players and the NBA and all leagues as a whole can really generate that type of energy.
I just think at this point too, though, it's going to have to be with all these leagues in concert that it's going to have to be something bigger. Cause like, man, I remember Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Wade and LeBron taking stage at the ESPYs and speaking out on exactly this, which were deaths of young African American men by Dallas police officers. And that was 2016. Like, that's 4 years ago now. And again, we're still in the same place, if not worse. And so I think athletes have been using their voices for a really long time. They've been really productive. It's just, what are the leagues going to do now? Like, who else is going to join those players and where those support systems come from? And really, I think that the next step is not going to be on players. It's going to be ownership groups. Like, that's the next people who it's like, hey, what are you going to do? How are you going to help propagate this message? How are you going to help amplify this message? How are you going to put real dollars behind these messages? Because, yeah, I don't know what else LeBron James can do. Like what gear is LeBron James supposed to hit that he hasn't been doing already? You know what I mean? Like, what more do you want from these guys? Like, I don't, there's a limit. Like LeBron, is he going to quit basketball? Is he just going to go completely into social activism? Like, it's gotten to the point where it needs to go beyond the athletes, and there's got to be pressure from fans to say, hey, listen, support the athletes in ways that isn't just, you know, you giving them a portion of your money to go use whatever it is they want to use it on.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, like, you know, people are going to be people regardless. Like, you know, the NBA, the leagues, the pro athletes, they're not going to change, you know, people. I think just changing the environment, you know, but making sure there's a stance, making sure there's support, people feel supported, people feel heard, people feel like they have an outlet. People feel like they have an opportunity. People feel like they're equal. And I think, to your point, collectively, the players, the leagues, everyone, that's the platform. It has to be a powerful platform. One individual or four individuals, no matter how popular they are not going to change what's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? So I think to your point, JD, is, you know, having the ownership groups, having the leagues, having this platform, a huge platform of all leagues ideally come together and provide support, and resources and access and things like that, where this demographic or a certain demographic, the Black demographic, feel heard, feel supported, feel have an opportunity. And then I think people will fall in line. People will fall in line. People will have more of an understanding and more of an opportunity to communicate and listen. And I think that comes from, you know, just once again, people somehow receiving support and that opportunity. And I think the leagues, the owners, the players collectively can do it, because not like you said, not four people, not one person is going to change, you know, what our country has been based upon for years and years, and things that's been taking place for years and years. So it's going to be a hell of a movement, but I think it can be done because we have the air, we have the resources when it comes to the leagues and the finances and the notoriety and the smarts and all those things together.
Well, the NBA took away an All-Star game from Charlotte because of political decisions that wanted to keep transgender people out of the bathrooms of their choices. And it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA, especially because, again, the NBA is the most progressive league. Like, there's just no debate. It's far, 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 far ahead of all of the other leagues. And it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA uses its weight in terms of where it goes and how they use their resources and making sure that some communities are more responsible, or that, yeah, some places are saying, yeah, if you want to be a part of the NBA, then you're going to have to try and line up with our values. But the biggest thing still to me is that the things that change policies is, yeah, it's votes, but it's lobbyists. And what are lobbyists? They're they're people with money behind them. And you know who has money? Right. NBA owners. And so it's going to be like, we're talking about Major League Baseball today. Like, hey, Major League Baseball, they want to have the owners open the books for the players. Well, at some point, are we going to ask owners to open the books in a primarily Black league to say, hey, how are you actually supporting, like, Black communities? How are you supporting Black issues beyond just paying athletes and then giving them or helping them have a larger platform? Like, how are you actually trying to propel change? And I just hope that these are things that end up happening here, that these are the new pressures that athletes and communities and fans end up putting on these places and saying, hey, it's more than just existing. And like I said before, it's more about you just not being racist. It's about you actually trying to create equality and the steps you move to in order to achieve that. We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see, man.
I
really enjoyed this talk, man. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I did too. This is our first one like this.
Again, it's unfortunate that our first one like this is coming off of violence, like that it's coming off of sadness, and it's coming off of somewhere where, like, yeah, you're seeing, fires and violence and broken stuff in your communities. But at least people are having it. I can't say the word, but it's a crappy way in order for this to all happen. Thanks again for doing this, man. Be safe.
Thanks, man. You as well.